next on the 5 o'clock report.
That is the most effective way to save lives now.
He's being so fundamentally hypocritical.
We even welcome Yankees fans. There is no discrimination.
And that speaks to the resiliency of this nation.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. The FBI said today no stone is being unturned in its investigation into last week's deadly siege at the U.S. Capitol. Assistant FBI Director Stephen D'Antuono.
In 6 days, we have opened over 160 case files, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Federal Prosecutor Michael Sherwin.
The Capitol are essentially a crime scene. And a scale in which we have literally thousands of potential witnesses and a scenario in which we're going to have hundreds of criminal cases.
The FBI was warned about possible violence at the Capitol before the attack last Wednesday. So far, about 70 arrests have been made. President Trump today slammed the impeachment proceeding he's about to face in the U.S. House tomorrow.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. This impeachment is causing tremendous anger.
He insisted his words in Washington last week were not the spark that lit the fire and caused the violent protests.
We want no violence, never violence. We want absolutely no violence.
Democrat Chuck Schumer thinks the president's trying to blame others for his mistake.
The technique Trump is using is used by the worst dictators the globe has ever seen. Donald Trump should not hold office one day longer.
George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley thinks the impeachment is unlawful.
It's ironic because in the last impeachment, I chastised the Democrats for impeaching on the thinnest record in the shortest period of time. They've now outdone themselves.
The president at the U.S. border in Texas today on the eve of the historic impeachment proceeding. The White House Coronavirus Task Force said today anyone 65 and older can get the COVID shot. Correspondent Cammie McCormick says the feds are also moving to allow the delivery of more vaccine doses.
Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says that means the government will no longer hold back second doses of the vaccines.
Because we now have a consistent pace of production, we can now ship all of the doses that had been held in physical reserve.
And he said states should immediately start vaccinating groups that were lower down on the priority scale, including those over 65.
We're telling states today that they should open vaccinations to all of their most vulnerable people. That is the most effective way to save lives now.
A major player in GOP politics has died. Casino tycoon Sheldon Adelson was 87.
This morning, former President George W. Bush calling him an American patriot. It was Adelson's longtime push to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem that the Trump administration made happen in 2018.
Correspondent Ed O'Keefe, Adelson will be buried in Israel following a funeral service in Las Vegas. New legal developments today in the George Floyd murder case.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin will be tried separately from three other former officers accused in the death of George Floyd. Chauvin, who is white and held his knee to the black man's neck for minutes, is scheduled to stand trial in March. Chauvin is facing charges of second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. The three other former officers are charged with aiding and abetting.
Correspondent Jim Krasula, it's a new era on Jeopardy. For the first time in more than three decades, somebody named other than Alex Trebek is hosting the show.
Not many things in life are perfect, but Alex did this job pretty much perfectly for more than 36 years, and it was even better up close. We were dazzled by his intelligence, his charm, his grace, really. There's no other word for it.
Celebrity contestant Ken Jennings will take over temporarily for the late, great Alex Trebek. Jennings said last night his goal is not to replace Trebek, but to honor him by continuing the game show that he loved so much. Former baseball great Daryl Strawberry is out with a new book. In it, the slugger shares how his Christian faith saved his life.
Took off the baseball uniform from being a baseball player, and I committed myself to Christ and the biblical principles, and I started on a journey that's far greater than anything you could ever imagine. You know, God's love is greater than baseball success, fame, trophies.
Strawberry struggled with drug addiction for most of his big league career. He says if politics and the pandemic have got you down,
Jesus is Lord. No matter what we're going through, He's still king. He's still sitting on the throne. He's still ruling reign. And all we got to do is follow the principles and live by them.
Baseball great Darryl Strawberry. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, Cuomo expands the shot list. Pennsylvania politicians push for reforms and the cicadas ready to make some noise.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your family life weather forecast. It will be cloudy to partly cloudy tonight. There'll be some flurries in some areas, a little bit of lake snow. Could deposit an inch or two in a few localized parts of western New York. Low temperatures, 20s and near 30. Tomorrow, clouds break for some sunshine in places as temperatures approach 40. Thursday, a couple of morning flurries and some cloud cover, especially in New York. Some breaks of sunshine, high temperatures, mid-30s. To the middle 40s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced today he's expanding the eligibility guidelines for receiving the COVID vaccine. Those 65 and older and anyone with underlying health conditions can apply for the shot. The governor says it'll take about 14 weeks to vaccinate the 7 million New Yorkers who are eligible. New York lawmaker Joe Borelli says he is pleased that the governor wants to reopen the state, but where was that message 10 months ago?
He's being so fundamentally hypocritical and going against everything he demanded New Yorkers do for the past few months.
Morelli says for a lot of businesses, the governor's actions are too little too late.
It's definitely a punch in the gut. I mean, this is a guy who made no effort to reopen businesses while things were much better over the summer, late spring, early fall. This is a guy who made no urgency of reopening, you know, New York's economy whatsoever. I mean, the entire time. This is a complete 180 degree reversal of everything he's been digging his heels in now for almost a year.
Pennsylvania House Republicans say deregulation is the key for economic recovery to happen. House Majority Leader Kerry Benninghoff unveiled a new task force today that'll look for ways to kickstart the struggling economy.
Economic revitalization is one of our top priorities and was what we'll be leading out of the gate with. We believe it's important to get Pennsylvania back on her feet, get her strong. Get people back to work.
The new 23-month legislative session started last week in the midst of a pandemic with many small businesses just starting to reemerge from shutdown orders. Many others are still fighting virus-imposed restrictions. Critics are blasting Governor Cuomo for pushing adult-use marijuana and gambling expansion as a way to offset the state's $15 billion deficit.
I just don't think that's to be an economic policy. I mean, if you're looking to drive revenue, I mean, you might get some, but it's not nearly enough.
Assemblyman Phil Palmisano of Corning says the revenue raised through gambling and pot is just a drop in the bucket. What's more, says Palmisano,
marijuana is a gateway drug. Talk to our law enforcement officers. They have very serious concerns about legalizing marijuana.
He says what's actually needed to get New York on sound fiscal footing is a reopening of the state's economy.
Listen, this is not just a public health crisis. It's an economic crisis.
Palmisano fears the governor may be relying too much on Washington for a federal bailout. Well, House Democrats, as we mentioned at the top of the broadcast, will vote tomorrow to impeach the president for what they called inciting an insurrection last week. Earlier today, we caught up with Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson.
This is a tumultuous week in our nation's capital. The House is about to make history, we're told, by voting to impeach President Trump a second time. That will happen. That vote will happen tomorrow. Congressman, I know that you are vehemently opposed to this effort, given what this nation has been through in the last week or so. What do you think the motivation here is for House Democrats, given that President Trump only has a few days left on the job?
It's a derangement, unfortunately, and it's driven by the woman who kind of started this process almost a year ago when she, before the nation, tore up the State of the Union address, and that would be Speaker Pelosi. You know, we have responsibilities as leaders, obviously, especially during great times of turmoil and hurting and division. And this country has been, I think, has been divided politically, you know, almost as bad as the Civil War.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've learned, Bob, was my 13 years, there's only one person that has their office in the middle of the Capitol, directly behind the rotunda, and that is the Speaker of the House. And that is because the Speaker is responsible for all concerns of the Capitol. And that includes safety and security. And yet she has not taken any responsibility. Everybody that resigned or was fired reported to her. And so it is time for healing. This impeachment vote, it's like putting gasoline on a fire when you have such a divided nation. But then, quite frankly, at the Capitol, we had people that were criminals. It was a terrible day for the nation, a very, very sad day. But I will say it speaks to the resiliency of America.
Yeah.
Because within hours of the Capitol really being taken, and that's what it was, there's still blood on the floor. And hours later, we were back in the chamber performing our constitutional responsibility. And that speaks to the resiliency of this nation.
Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson. The home of the New York Mets will soon be used as a huge hub for COVID vaccinations. Scott Pringle reports.
Mayor de Blasio says Citi Field will have vaccinations 24/7 starting the week of January 25th and will have the capacity to do 5,000 to 7,000 doses a day.
We even welcome Yankees fans. There is no discrimination.
New Mets owner Steve Cohen.
You know, we know the suffering that's going on with COVID, and any way the organization could help support this effort, we were going to do it.
Meanwhile, de Blasio once again calling for larger shipments. He says at the pace the city is vaccinating, it'll be out of doses in 2 weeks. Scott Pringle, New York.
Your nightly market report next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks were steady today after yesterday's losses, with tech shares bouncing back. The Dow was up 60 points, the NASDAQ adding 36, and the S&P 500 gained 2. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thanks, Dave. This is the 5 o'clock report.
Hello, and here's Rob West with today's interesting MoneyWise Minute.
Do you know what it means to be rich toward God? The Bible doesn't clearly define it. In Luke 12, Jesus relates how God might react to a wealthy man whose heart was in the wrong place. He says, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We can tell by contrast that being rich toward God means your heart is drawn toward Him as your riches, not earthly possessions. Rich toward God means using earthly riches to show how much you value Him. Money is neither good nor bad, it's just a tool. And used improperly, it can be hazardous to your spiritual health.
And you can learn more about trusting God and becoming a wise money manager when you contact us online, moneywise.org. Write it down, moneywise.org.
Kyrie Irving making some news off the court.
Son. Yeah, Brooklyn Nets star guard Kyrie Irving going to miss at least the next three games for personal reasons. ESPN reports Irving will sit out tonight's game against Denver, tomorrow against the Knicks, and Saturday against Orlando. He's already missed the Nets' previous three games. This comes after video circulated on social media, Irving maskless at his sister's birthday party. NBA expected to review the videos, could fine Irving for violating COVID-19 protocols. The NBA has already postponed four games this season due to COVID issues, including tonight's Celtics-Bulls games. Elsewhere, the 76ers host the Heat tonight. Cavaliers take on the Utah Jazz in Cleveland. College basketball, Jonathan Williams, 25 points, helped lead Buffalo over Western Michigan, 85-69. Good one tonight in Chapel Hill. Got Syracuse at 7-2, taking on the 7-4 Tar Heels, and the Penn State-Rutgers game postponed. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Aside from a little lake zone parts of western New York tonight into tomorrow, it's still a pretty quiet weather story that will carry us through the week before a strong cold front arrives Friday night, and returning a process that delivers more in the way of winter chill for the second half of January. But in the meantime, it will be cloudy to partly cloudy tonight. There will be some flurries in some areas, a little bit of lake snow could deposit an inch or two in a few localized parts of western New York, low temperatures, 20s and near 30. Tomorrow, clouds break for some sunshine in places as temperatures approach 40. Thursday, a couple of morning flurries and some cloud cover, especially in New York. Some breaks of sunshine, high temperatures, mid-30s to the middle 40s.
All right, Kevin Williams at the Weather Center. Thank you very much. Finally at 5 for Tuesday, the sound of cicadas.
And that's just one cicada. Imagine what a billion would sound like.
Ouch!
It's a phenomenon that happens once every 17 years, and it will happen again this spring. The cicadas will hatch from their underground bunkers in May and June, and by the billions, they will emerge wreaking havoc with that deafening sound. The male cicadas are the only ones that make that noise, and that's to attract the females so they can mate. Cicadas spend 17 years maturing underground. Once they come out, they only have a few weeks to live. The bugs that are born during that time will then burrow in the ground again, and we won't see them again till the year 2038, Sonny.
Lord willing, yes.
Lord willing, indeed.
Had a cicada hit me when I rode my motorcycle.
They're ugly bugs.
I had my mask up, my shield up. Hit me at 75 miles an hour. Oof, in the eye.
Not much of that bug left. Probably.
Not much of my eye left after that.
The 5 o'clock report was brought to you in part by the House Connect family and Crickler Vending, with offices in Lancaster, Horseheads, and Rochester, New York.